The new KNZR stickers are here. Get one and stick it. It could make you a winner. The other side's playing for keeps. You snooze, you lose.
And welcome back, everybody. We're into our last hour here on a Monday. And, of course, that means we have Dr. Jan Minson from the practice to talk to us about something to do with medicine. We have covered so many different topics. And, you know, I've been kind of waiting for this one because I think everybody hears about being anemic or having anemia.
Terry, 7% of the population is anemic.
7%?
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is.
But, this is not a small percent.
So what does the doctor think about? First of all, how does he make the diagnosis anemia? Is it just a blood test?
Yes, it's a white blood, or it's a hemoglobin. Essentially, okay. He does what's called a complete blood count. CBC is what everybody terms that, but it's termed complete blood count. And in that blood count, we're going to talk about what that means as we go on today, and probably we'll have to finish it Wednesday.
On Wednesday,
because
sure.
There's so much. But here's the bottom line. Is that when a doctor does, looks at anemia, the first thing that goes through his mind is there any blood loss? Chronic mm-hmm. blood loss, all right? Why? Because people, things like ulcers, peptic
right.
ulcer disease,
right.
ulcerative colitis, all right? Chronic GI bleeding of any sort. What's one of the more common causes? Alcohol use. We don't realize that, but yes.
Go figure.
alcohol use, all right? Seriously. All right. Women with the most common, females are more common than men. All right.
Menstrual cycles.
Heavy menarche, menorrhagia. Mm-hmm. Women, especially of childbearing age, with heavy periods, you need to have your hemoglobin checked. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it important, Terry, for the doctor to think about blood loss? Here's the reason why. I don't care that you're anemic. That comes across wrong, right?
Yeah.
But the issue is why. All right. And here's the problem with blood loss. If it's a blood loss issue, you have to figure out why, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the issue. Let's take the most common in people age 55 and more, and older, not the most common, but one of the things that scares doctors. I've got a patient that's anemic, and he's 55. He hasn't had his colonoscopy, and he's got a colon, a polyp that's shedding blood. Losing blood, or if it's the right word, is losing blood.
Right.
He's anemic because of that. My issue is that guy has to have a colonoscopy. End of discussion.
Right.
Do you follow
right.
what I'm saying? See what's going on.
It kind of sounds like anemia is just like sleep.
Anemia is a symptom of something else, Terry. This mm-hmm. is probably the most important thing we can talk about today. It's common, 7%. All right, that's not small potatoes, Terry.
Right.
It's very common.
That's millions of people.
But the issue is why, all right? It's not what's happening, but why. Because it's very, very important. Because if I don't figure out why, I will miss something, all right?
Okay, so you've taken the blood test. You determine
that
based on the hemoglobin or the blood counts mm-hmm. that you've got you're faced with some anemia. Well, then why is the issue of a neuro exam important with anemias that each patient you look at and you got anemia,
Terry,
it's like,
I
got to look at the neuro.
Okay. Every time there is anemic, the doctor will do a neurologic exam. There's only a few things he has to do,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
He has to check your gait. He has to check your sensation in your feet and then you're tingling in your arms and feet and check your vibratory response or check your posterior column. We call it posterior columns for doctors, but the long tracts and dorsal aspect. He'll check a Romberg sign and see how your balance is, things like that. And here's why. Because let's take a classic example.
Okay.
I've got a person that comes in, a woman that comes in, and they got a little bit of tingling in their fingers and their toes and feet that. And they're not feeling well, and they're tired, okay? And they have what we call these paresthesias, all right? They'll have loss of vibratory sense, and what we do is we take a tuning fork.
Mm-hmm.
And put it in the toes. They mm-hmm. can't feel it. Mm-hmm. They don't know it's, you know, when it quits or what.
Right.
It's loss of vibratory sense. There's something called ataxia, but it just means you don't walk quite properly. All right? Your gait is screwed up. And often, these people will have an early mild dementia. All right? Rarely, they can have a little bit of jaundice, but that's quite really rare. But here, that constellation of symptoms, fingers tingling and kind of feeling like that, mm-hmm. and feeling weak and tired, all these things the doctor will check, that's called pernicious anemia. Pernicious anemia is a big, it's an old-fashioned word from 50 years ago. But what it really means is you're anemic because of B12 problems mm-hmm. or because of folic acid problems. Now, it's actually easily treated. You take B12, all right, and typically if you come to the office and I think that's an issue, it's just simpler to give you a shot of B12 every week for 6 weeks and it'll cure it. Oh my gosh, kind mm-hmm. of thing. All right. Mm-hmm. Then I have, there's other things I have to do to, you know, to supplement and do it long term. But it's a simple way. Folic acid is the same way. It can do that. And we can check a red blood cell folate acid level. But here's a problem. See that? I brought a bottle in from the office. What does it say?
Optimized folate, L-methylfolate, 1,000 micrograms.
Okay, well, here's what most people, we didn't know 3 years ago, okay? And 30% of all females, okay, cannot methylate folic acid.
Okay.
What that means is they can't folic acid has to be methylated to be absorbed properly and be effective.
Yeah. Methylation is just a chemical process yeah. that goes on.
Yes. All right. 30% of all women can't do that, and it's very hard to diagnose, okay? Mm-hmm. It's more of a research thing, all right, this present time, all right? You can look at it by doing their hormones and things like that to look at methylation defects, but it's very common. It's often missed. So the simple way of solving this is give a woman methylated folic acid. It's quite rare. A lot of doctors don't even know about this stuff at mm-hmm. this point. Mm-hmm. This is only last 3 or 4 years this has been out.
Right.
But if you give them methylated folic acid, so it's actually more, everybody absorbs it, instead of 30% of women can't absorb it, all of a sudden their anemia goes away, and it's, oh my gosh, all right? And so that's why we use methylated folic acid. In fact, our multivitamin that we sell that we make our patients take has the methylated folic acid in it already, so they don't have to worry about that methylation.
What is it about the red blood cells that they are decreased in volume because of either folate or because of B12?
Essentially, those two things make the red cells small. Okay. All right? And what happens is they can't carry as much oxygen, essentially. All right? The other thing that happens, Terry, this can cause, you know, if you correct the folic acid deficiency and give them methylated folic acid, you know, it does no good. If you have a woman who, one of these 30% of women that it's not a case of absorbing, Terry. They can absorb the folic acid, but they have a methylation. They can't convert it to methylate it to make it active so it'll work.
Right.
All right. It's not an absorption issue. It's really a problem of conversion. They have a methylation, what we call a methylation defect in their, I was going to say hormones, not their hormones, but they're in the body. All right. They mm-hmm. can't, mm-hmm. they can't activate it. All right. The easiest way to do it is to treat with methylated folic acid. Now, it's hard to find.
Bypass. Bypass the methylation process.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that kind of thing.
Right.
Here's the other thing that is we have now knowing with B12. B12 issues are actually more common, and here's what we didn't realize. You know, people who are on long-term PPIs and acid medicines, all right, mm-hmm. omeprazole. Let's say you're going to be on omeprazole. It takes more than 6 months. It didn't take omeprazole once in a while. It doesn't hurt this. But if you take omeprazole more than 6 months, the incidence of problems with absorption of B12 goes through the roof. So I see.
Well, and I take omeprazole, and that's one of the things you always check is where my B12 levels are.
Yeah, exactly. So these patients, it's easier to just make sure that they're treated with a correct amount of B12 because it is, we miss it. And mm-hmm. here's the problem, Terry. I mentioned something. Not only is paresthesias and all the numbness and tingling and they feel weak and tired, they is associated with a mild dementia that's reversible by correcting the B12. Whoa, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And there aren't that many dementias that you get to get the reverse.
Harry, you hit the nail
usually,
right on the head.
You're arrested, oh but you don't get the reverse.
Right. Okay. So that's why it's so important. This is not a little issue. Mm-hmm. Do you follow what I'm saying? And the doctor will look at these things. But it's something new. All right. We didn't know this 4 years ago. We really didn't know it happened. This was an issue. Terry, all right, this is sort of, I was going to say hot off the press. I'm not sure the right word to say it. But this is a new issue that we're starting to say, holder. In fact, I personally believe 10 years from now, we will no longer, we'll outlaw regular folic acid and it will all be methylated. But that's mm-hmm. just me. I don't mm-hmm. know, but I'm pretty sure that's probably where it's going to go.
Well, we're finding out that a lot of the vitamins that have been around for a long time were really essential. They do a lot more than what we thought they did, number one. But number two, we're finding out that the dosages were probably on the short side when it came to really getting effective.
Yeah, we've talked about with vitamin D, yeah. with all these things that you know that research is most of it's from 40, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, and what is essentially the issue that's happened is much our farming practices have changed, mm-hmm. right,
mm-hmm.
And because of that, in fact, we're going to go in later how you get it from your diet, you know what I mean, and what you eat to do these and get these things to solve these issues. But our farming practices have changed, and the farming has come to the point where it's too easy to have problems with some of these deficiencies. All right, mm-hmm. That's really the issue.
Sure.
The other thing the doctor's going to do is he's going to see if there's any jaundice. All right? And the first thing is that there's such a thing as what's called a hemolytic anemia. I think you know what that is. That's where right. the body is chewing up the blood cells, all right?
Right.
And they'll all be jaundiced, all right? Some a little, some a lot, all right? Number two is that he'll look for chronic liver disease because chronic liver disease will cause jaundice. Alcoholic liver disease, classic for that. And alcoholic cirrhosis is very associated with folic acid deficiencies. And also something called sideroblastic anemias, which are quite rare. But here's where we get caught, all right? A person comes in with jaundice. Now, there is a syndrome called Gilbert syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
It's very common. But it's an enzyme defect where people can't conjugate their bilirubin quite as well. And they have mildly elevated bilirubin levels, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Those patients, it has nothing to do with alcohol. It's a gene defect. I have it, okay? And this will have just barely, bilirubin just a little bit up, you know, maybe 1.5 or you know, just a little bit up. It's of no consequence medically. But you have to be very careful if you've got a patient. And these patients, by the way, will have more of a orangey. You know, their skin is, you know, like mine. I'm not sure.
Right.
But it's just more, not as if you're Caucasian, it'll be a little more yellowish. All right. And that's Gilbert's disease. It's common. It's of no consequence. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is you have to be very careful that's not associated with anemia. If there's anemia and that's occurred, then you need to do more workup for that.
Got it. Okay, let's take a break real quick right here. Actually, we're going to take a lengthy break, and then we'll come back, and the second break will be kind of small. But we are talking to Dr. Jan Mensing from the practice. We're talking about anemia.
Very common, Terry.
Very common. 7%. 7% of people walking around right now have anemia, and a lot of you don't know it. But we will give you some more advice on where you find it and what the doctor's thinking when he's faced with a patient with anemia. We'll be right back.
And what to do with it.
AM 1560 and FM 97.7 KNZR.
I'm lying alone with my head on the phone, thinking of you till it hurts.
All right, everybody, we are back. We are talking with Dr. Jan Mensing from the practice. We're talking about anemia, something that afflicts an awful lot of people, about 7% of the population. If you've ever been diagnosed with it, or you know of people who have been diagnosed with it, you might have thought, oh, you know, how serious is it? And, you know, it can be fairly serious.
Yes, yes. We'll go on later a little bit to talk about the symptoms and signs of anemia. One thing I wanted to just clear up from what from last section that we didn't really make clear.
Yeah.
But B12, very few people, a lot of people don't understand this. B12 is only absorbed, all right? There's three issues with B12 absorption. Number one is you have to have what's called intrinsic factor in the gut, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have had gut surgery, you've had stapling, or you've changed the anatomy, or weight loss surgeries.
Bariatric surgery.
Yeah, bariatric surgeries. There's major issues there, all right?
Right.
Major issues, all right? The second thing is that there we talked about long-term antacid medicines.
Right.
They interfere with that intrinsic factor with absorption.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing that is very important, and people don't realize this, Terry, B12 is only really absorbed very well as a, you know, like a capsule as a supplement.
Yeah.
It's only absorbed two ways. Number one, by injection, mm-hmm. or number two, sublingual.
Yeah.
If you take the B12, capsule or whatever you buy, and you swallow it, it gets inactivated by the acid most often, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not absorbed. So it does no good to take a bunch of B12 capsules and swallow them out, all right? You have to suck them and swallow them sublingual under the tongue. The oral mucosa absorbs it well, or you take injections, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people miss this, all right? It's sort of one of those things doctors know this.
Well, besides that, there's tremendous vasculature underneath your tongue.
You cannot swallow the capsule. Yeah. You have to swallow. Their capsules are made, they're called sublingual capsules.
Yeah.
They're the one that absorbs, yeah. all right? It does no good to take a capsule and swallow it. Do you follow what I'm saying? For 99% of people. So if you're listening out there and you want to take B12, and it's good, I strongly agree with that. Just remember, it has to be done sublingual. All right, that's under the tongue, and you can go to the pharmacies and the vitamin shops. They know all this, and they'll just say you want a sublingual vitamin B12, and they'll know what to give you.
Yeah, that you can go into a place like Costco and places like that, and they've got it. I don't know if they do or not. Because that's where I get mine.
Okay.
And it's sublingual.
Okay, yeah. So just if you go, just make sure it's sublingual, that you hit the nail right on the head. All right. The next thing is the doctor. He's going to do a blood count. Okay, it's complete blood count, CBC, complete blood count.
Mm-hmm.
But there's several things we're going to talk about. What he's going to look at in there. But number one is he wants to look at not only the hemoglobin to see if you're anemic. Number two, he wants to look at the white blood count.
WBCs.
Right? The WBCs, the white blood count. Because if the white blood count, if you're anemic and the white blood count is low, especially very, very low, there's something called aplastic anemia. It's rare. My grandmother died of aplastic anemia. It's, mm-hmm. I think, 2 per million. It's rare. It's very rare, all right? I've seen one case in my life, all right, but you cannot miss it, all right? And why? Because if you don't diagnose it, these people will die. It's like a death sentence. Number two, we can now do bone marrow transplants. Oh, my gosh, all right?
Yeah, this really changed things,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, really change it. All right, the next thing, he'll look at the white count and make sure it's not decreased, because there's something called myelofibrosis, where the bone marrow becomes fibrotic and won't produce, all right? It's not aplastic anemia,
mm-hmm.
but it's the bone marrow just quits working kind of thing. And the third thing is he wants to look at that white count, because if it's decreased, the other things that are important is there's something called Gaucher's disease and cancers and lymphomas that can invade the bone marrow so that they can't work, and it's really not a problem of them having anemia. The real issue is they've got, let's say they've got a lymphoma in their bone marrow, or they've got metastatic cancer in their bone marrow.
Right.
And the anemia is just, it's not the issue. And so that's one of the reasons why the white count is so important. The doctor will look at that and he'll say, hold her, what's wrong here? That's too low. Something's wrong.
Well, now we know that the red blood cells come from the marrow.
That's correct.
Okay. Where do the white blood cells come from?
Most of the same way. Same thing.
Just want to clear that for people, is they have to understand that there's a separation of what's being produced, but it can produce either.
Now, he'll also look and see if the white blood count is elevated, right? Mm-hmm. Because that'll make him think of infections. Some leukemias will, chronic lymphocytic leukemia will make the white count of 30,000 or 50,000.
all right. make it skyrocket.
All right. Bacteremia, chronic urinary tract infections will increase the white count. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's going to look at all these things because that white count, which is part of the complete blood count, you know, we think of as patients, well, he'll look at anemia, hemoglobin is low. All right.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking at a whole bunch of things in that to tell. All right. So that's probably the important thing about that. The other thing the doctor will do is something called a tourniquet test. All right. And what this means is he'll leave a tourniquet on your arm for a while.
You know, completely cut off the blood flow?
Yeah, for a little while.
How long is a little while? Because I want my arm back.
30 seconds. Doesn't take very long.
Okay.
In fact, often he'll do it at the end of the... He'll take the blood pressure with the old-fashioned monitor. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then once he's got the blood pressure, he'll pump it up and he'll just leave it sit for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and your arm will get sore. And you'll say, Doc, it's hurting me. All right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why is he doing that? Because certain times, two things happen. There's two reasons why. He's stressing those vessels because he wants to look you can get a whole bunch of petechiae. He wants to know if there's DIC, disseminated intravascular coagulation. He cannot miss that. You die if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Or what we call purpura, where the vessel will start to turn purple, or the hands will, the skin will turn purple. All right.
I've had that.
Yeah. All right. Potentially very serious. So that's how in the office he can check those things.
Right.
All right. Now he also can look at the platelet count and the blood count. All right. The complete blood count always includes platelets. All right.
Right.
He'll look at what's called the red cell indices. That means nothing to most people, but there's a bunch of them. Let's say probably the most important was what's called an MCV, mean corpuscular volume. But just on your blood count, it'll say MCV. Here's what happens. If these are very small, all right, it means he has an iron deficiency anemia. He's going to think of iron deficiency. We're going to talk a whole bit probably next week all about iron deficiency, all how it affects anemias. Or if they're very big, all right, that's essentially... Those are the people with big cells, all right? Their MCV is, say, 105 or 110, all right? Well, 110 would be pretty big, but he's going to think of the pernicious anemias full of casts and all those kind of things.
Oh,
but
okay.
Here's the more important thing. What is the most common cause of an elevated MCV? Alcohol.
You know, I was going to say alcohol, but...
Alcohol, all right?
Sure,
so
sure.
He'll look at that and say, hold on, are you drinking? How much are you drinking? All mm-hmm. right? Because maybe that there's an alcohol issue, all right? So
yeah,
just from
you know,
that blood count, he's going to like see all these things.
I think that's real important because, as we've discussed before, you know, most alcoholics are not going to tell you how much they're drinking.
No, but...
But that would help.
That's right. Exactly. There he is. He'll do a blood count, and the patient has no clue
Yeah, you got a marker on there.
That tells you if you're drinking too much. All
sure,
right.
Sure.
All right. So this is what goes through the doctor's mind when he looks at that, and he'll say, "Well, how much are you drinking? I drink a day. No. Come on, tell me the truth. It doesn't fit. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, doc. You know, and what's the truth? The patient that once he knows, if he doesn't know the doctor, he gets pushed, he'll admit to only half of what he drinks.
Yeah.
So doctors always double it if you don't know the guy very well. You know, and they're usually right, all right?
Maybe. Probably even more than that, I mean.
Maybe, yeah. All right? So these are little things, all right,
mm-hmm.
that
sure.
we do. Maybe I want to go into a workout, but should we take a break or should
yeah,
we
let's go? Yeah, let's go ahead and take another break and we'll come back.
And look at the workup.
That sounds good.
And I want to go over, I don't know if I have time to do it, maybe next on Wednesday we're going to go over the symptoms. And then how to treat it and what to do.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, we're going to be right back. We're talking to Dr. Jan Mensink. We're talking about anemia, so don't go away.
There's only one on AM 1560 and FM 97.7, KNZR.
Well, if you're as cold as ice, then Dr. Mensen could let you know if you're dead or not. That's for sure. I do want to let people know, as we discuss some of these things that Dr. Mensen, something like the methylated folate, is the difference between just getting folic acid and taking that. This is the stuff that does not have to be chemically broken down or chelated or anything like that inside the body. It's the active medication that you'd be taking. You can get these things on his website. Dr. Mensink?
drmensink.com. Without a period after the DR.
drmensink.com. And you will find a plethora of different things that we talk about on that website. Iodide is very hard to find, but you can find it on his 12.5 milligrams is what he recommends, along with the vitamin D3, and it does some amazing things for you. But this optimized folate, which is an L-methyl folate, is available on there too. And I tell you, the other thing is, when you compare the prices that he has on his website with the prices that you're going to pay, even in some of the cheap places, he's very competitive, very competitive. And the one thing you can always count on is Dr. Mensing has researched the quality of the product, and he's looking for bioavailability.
This is very good quality. One thing about methylized folate, Terry, this is fairly new. This is 4 years ago that came out. So a lot of doctors will not even know it if you haven't really kept up in this area. They won't even understand. They won't even realize it's an issue. All right, this is fairly new stuff. All right, this is new stuff. All right,
got it. Okay, where did we leave off?
I thought we'd go over and start. I've got so much. We're gonna have to wait for Wednesday to do it. But I think we'll go roughly over the workup. Maybe that's first of all, the doctor's going to do a complete blood count, CBC.
Right.
He's going to do usually a Chem-20, but it's a big word for saying he's going to check your liver function or your electrolytes, your kidney function, your all these kind of things.
Sure.
All right. If you're black, he will probably order what's called a sickle cell prep for sickle cell anemia. And we'll talk a little bit about sickle cell later on.
99.9% of the sickle cell anemia, you have to have genetically African American.
Yes. Yeah. It's a black thing. All right. Yep. We'll talk a little bit just as a very little. I don't want to spend much time there. All right. But there's a little in treatment. What we call a hemoglobinopathy. That doesn't mean much, but an abnormal hemoglobin. Mm-hmm. All right. He'll ask for a hemoglobin electrophoresis. All right. But that's usually probably a second stage test he'll do. Or the specialist will do that, or if he sends you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. He'll send a stool for occult blood. All right.
Because you could be losing it through your gut.
Somewhere.
GI tract someplace.
All right. And if it's positive, it does no good. Careful how I say this. A lot of people are pushing the test. In fact, we advertise in the radio, but the test to do the stool DNA to see if you have any polyps. All right, that is not what we want here. This is a old-fashioned stool occult blood, because I have to know if you're losing any blood in your stool, because it could be from the stomach, could be from the duodenum, it could be from the small bowel, large bowel. Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
I have to know that. Because if it's a blood loss anemia, certain things have to be done. I have to prove where you're losing it.
And what's interesting is, based on that test, they can tell you probably where it's from based on what the blood looks like by the time it gets into the test.
Possibly. Just short and simple. People who are losing blood, they're going to get scoped both up and down.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get an upper GI and a colonoscopy. That's part of the workup, okay?
Right.
Because and they have to stop the alcohol and do all these other things, all right? The next thing is, the stool for occult blood will be done in the doctor's office, all right? Your primary care doctor's office, all right? The blood work will be done, all right? He may do
Cologuard.
Cologuard, yes. Right. But that's Cologuard does not check for blood.
Right, but it does check for the other
for
things.
For the DNA from these polyps, okay? Right. So the Cologuard is not good enough.
Right.
All right. By the way, Cologuard will cost you lots of money. The stool occult blood is $5 or $10. It's not very much money, kind of thing. All right. But it's something the doctor will probably do in his office, by the way.
Right.
They're very common. All right. He may do a serum B12 and a red blood cell folic acid level.
Mm-hmm.
If some complete blood counts don't include a platelet count, all right. Most do. Most around here do, but some places they don't. Then he'll add a platelet count also on top of it.
Right.
All right. He will sometimes, and this is more a specialist will do this test. He'll do a urine for methylmalonic acid, which will tell them if there's a pernicious anemia issue there. All right, but that's more the specialist will do. The next thing the doctor will do, and I'm a big fan of this, all right? I can't say I believe this so strongly, but we order a CT scan of the abdomen and pelvis, all right?
CT scan. Because you want to take a real good look at it.
I have been doing this too many years, Terry. You cannot afford to miss a tumor or a mass or something like that.
Yeah,
and nowadays it doesn't cost that much to do.
I think that's a good place to stop for right now, because that's a pretty good message to everybody. Is you don't want to miss a tumor or anything like that, because I don't want you to miss one either. We're going to be right back.
KNZR.com, KNZR on Twitter, KNZR on Facebook, and KNZR on your radio at AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end, no safety or surprise, the end, I'll never look into your eyes.
Okay, everybody, we are all done with our program for a Monday. Dr. Mensing, we're going to come back on Wednesday and talk some more anemia. What sort of things are we going to cover?
We're going to go over the symptoms and signs of what to expect if you're anemic. All right, we're going to talk about what you do about it and treat it.
Okay.
And where you go from there. And the other thing, probably the last thing I'll mention, is I'm a strong believer. In our office, we try therapeutic trials of B12 shots and methylated folic acid. It's cheap. It's safe. It gets you, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All right.
Tremendous upside, very little downside.
You know my mantra.
Yep, absolutely.
Tremendous upside, very little risk.
Yeah, and that sounds great. I'm looking forward to Wednesday for you when you come back and we do that. I've got some things planned for tomorrow. We will continue our conversation about exactly what's going on in the school system and what the repercussions are for all the people that walked out and all the students. So you want to join us for that. I've also got a great guest that you will be amazed with.